Even when it looks like difficult times, God's always working, isn't he? God is always good. He's always good. Heavenly Father, help me today to share this message. It'll be plain and simple. And that we could get what you want us to get from it. See what we need to see. Receive what we can receive. In Jesus' name, amen. I was toiling with this message because it really isn't a Christmas message. But you know that I don't always follow the trend. I try to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to share things that I think the Holy Spirit wants me to share. And this is one of those messages that God wanted me to share. I don't know who needed to hear this today. Maybe somebody on the internet that will stop by and listen to this message today. Maybe it's you. But I know that the Lord's word is precious, and he always has the right word for us at the right time. Are there times in your life when you feel so discouraged and forgotten that you think God's promises weren't meant for you? You ever been there? Have there ever been times in your life when you cried out to God, "Where are you? Why don't you answer my prayers?" Does that sound familiar to any of you? Is that why I need to share this message? I know there's lots of times it's difficult to see the Lord working, especially when his voice seems to be silent. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but he's spoken to me lots of times up here. I remember not too long ago when I was visiting at Geisner on one of my visits, can't remember anymore which one it was or who it was I needed to go see. But when that elevator door opened, a little fellow just took off a running. He took off like the elevator was on fire. And I stepped in there, I thought, well, what's he in such a hurry? Well, then when I saw that he had pushed all those buttons, I knew then why he ran so fast. Because if I could have caught him, I'd have shook him. And it was in one of those times, and it was happened to be the elevator that had 8 floors. And it was that time when the Lord says, you just stay right where you're at because you was just like him. You're right. I forgot. So I just patiently waited as each floor stopped and the doors opened. Okay. I can do this. Wished I could have entertained the doctor. I wish he'd have stepped in with me. By myself. But I can tell you that I'm glad when God speaks to me. I really enjoy that. Sometimes it's comical. That was one of those comical times. He said, you just keep your mouth shut. You were just like him. Okay. I've been there. There's been times when I wondered why God was so quiet. It's during those times in my life when I think that God's not listening or he's not watching that he picks me up and he carries me through whatever situation I'm going through, broken pieces and all. He carries me. And I can tell you, his promises are still true. And he never forsakes us, ever. He's been so good to me through the years. I love him so much. His promises are true, and they're worth waiting for. If I were to title this, I suppose I could put the promises of God are sometimes beyond our comprehension. Are his promises beyond our comprehension? I think they are many times. There's so much more than we can even think or imagine. He's freed us from bondage, of slavery to sin. He's placed us beside himself, the Bible says, in heavenly places. He's given us an identity in him. He's been there for us when we didn't think he was there. Is it true for you? Are you free today? We're no longer under Satan's dominion. But do you feel like you're bound? You need not feel that way. There's many times that we often get discouraged. Oftentimes we despair. And when that happens, I turn to certain Bible passages. And the Lord begins to use those passages and he begins to restore my spirit. And one such passage is the one that we read, if you're there, Exodus chapter 2. The Israelites had continued to groan under their burden of slavery. Obviously, when it said that the Pharaoh died, the Pharaoh that was a good Pharaoh, that was favorable to the Israelites, he died. And a new Pharaoh took his place. He wasn't as favorable to the Israelites. In fact, he put them under bondage. And this is where we're at. This is the text that we're at. The good Pharaoh died and another Pharaoh has taken his place. And now the children of Israel are in despair. They're crying out for help. And their cry has risen to God. There was a few things I underlined there in that passage in verse 24, if you're there, chapter 2 of Exodus. I underlined some things there in verse 24. I underlined God heard, God remembered. In verse 25, God looked, and God had respect. Four good topics there for a message, but I won't use those today, but those are good things that, you know, I've left a mark there. I was there before, and I remember marking those. You ever been someplace where you know you were there before? Maybe somebody else was there. Did you ever go for a walk in the woods and find somebody wrote something on one of the trees? How many ever found that in the woods? So you hunters, you ever find, you find somebody wrote something on the tree. So you go to look to see who it was. They just use their first name. Wonder how long ago it was that they marked this tree. Don't know. Sometimes it's grown over. You can't make out the date. But they were there. They were there. Wonder who it was. I don't wonder how many years ago it was. Well, that's how it is. I mark my Bible because I know that when I get there and see it again, I was there. I had visited there before. And so it brings back some memory for me. God knows the exact time to act on behalf of his people. In the latter part of verse 25, it said he had respect unto them. What that really means is he knew it was time to intervene. He looked down on the people of Israel and knew it was time to act. That's what it means when God had respect unto them. He looked and he saw it was time to act. It was time to do something. We know that God's timing is always perfect. Our timing's lousy, but God's timing is always perfect. He saw the Israelites. He saw their exhaustion. He saw their defeated attitude. He saw the loss of all hope of them ever being set free to the point to where they were losing hope. But you see, what Israel didn't know is that they were on the very brink of a breakthrough. And that happens so many times in our lives. If we only knew how close we were to a miracle. And many times we give up right when we're on the verge of receiving a miracle. On the verge. It was on the verge for the children of Israel. Had they just pushed it a little bit more, they would have known that God's timing is perfect. but they gave up. They came up a little bit short. Has that happened in your life? Have you given up right at the point when you were ready to receive a miracle? And you gave up. It happens. It happens to all of us. It seems like at that time in our lives, Satan puts another push to try to defeat us. It seems like he puts another brick on our load, on our shoulder, to break us. It seems like in those times, he brings us to that point to try to break us. When he's trying to break us, God is trying to put a miracle in our life. Just remember, when the time seems the darkest and you're ready to give up, give it one more push. Give it one more push. And you'll be amazed at what God can do for you. Don't give up. Don't give up. You're on the verge of a miracle. Don't you give up. This is what happened with the children of Israel. When we're the closest to that very moment to get rid of ourselves of the enemy, the enemy chooses to unleash a flood of things against us because Satan knows his time is short. And when he sees us nearing our breakthrough, he refocuses his fury against us. And the closer Israel was to freedom, it seemed it was harder for them to keep on to their hope. In the first generation of Israel, of the Israelites, they were enslaved in Egypt. They had remembered the glorious times that they had in Egypt. Remember when they started the promised land and started to go into the wilderness, and they would talk about the good times they had in Egypt, especially when they began to murmur, oh, here we are, we have no water. Remember? Oh, I wish we'd have stayed in Egypt. If they would have only just clung a little bit closer to God and they could have seen his promises, the promises were for them. And so they had this dark lineage and time and history where there was 400 years of bondage. It seemed like none of them could even imagine that God's covenant with Abraham was for them. But I thank the Lord that he heard their cry. Oh, what an encouragement this story can offer to each of us today. They suffered bondage. They think it would never end. Have you ever been there? Have you ever cried out? Have you ever felt that you haven't been heard? Maybe you received counseling, but it didn't work. There was times you felt like you was on the very brink of despair, but don't be afraid to cry, because the Israelites did, and they cried for help, and their cry rose up to God, and God heard their groaning. He heard it. He heard their cry. Sometimes we're so far down that all we have is a cry. You ever been there? You ever been that far down that that's all you have now and left is a cry? Oh. Memories. Those times you don't have to try to figure out how to pray some complex theological formula of a prayer. Don't ever think that you've got to word it just right. All you got to do is cry out for help. That's all you got to do. How many of you know the word help? Huh? That's all you got to do. You don't have to know a lot of theology. Lord, I need you. Help me. That's all he needs to hear. It's what he wants to hear. Help me. It doesn't need to be special words. All it takes is your heart's cry. Lord, I'm calling on you to help. I don't know what else to do. I don't know where else to go. Your word promised me deliverance from my enemies, salvation from my sin, and victory in Jesus. Why don't I see any of these promises happening in my life? Lord, I'm about to lose hope. Have you been there? This is what happens when you cry out to him. God heard their groaning and he remembered. Verse 24. Now, first of all, God doesn't forget. When he said he remembered, he didn't forget anything. When he says he remembered, it means he's getting ready to do something. He's getting ready to do something. Because he doesn't forget anything. It simply means God's ready to move. He's ready to bring to the forefront of that which he desires to do in your life. He's bringing it now to the forefront. He's now going to bring the covenant that he made with Abraham to the forefront. He's now going to give that promise to Abraham, to the children of Israel. It's time. He had promised them a land of their own where they'd not be under bondage. He promised them a place that would flow with milk and honey. There would be multitude of children. Their wombs would be blessed, and they'd have multitudes of children. They'd be a blessing to other nations. He was about to bring this to a reality, his promise to a reality. This is what it means when God said he remembered. And then the passage says that God knew. And exactly what did God know? He knew his people were in pain. But he also knew that the promises were coming and they were about to be a reality in them. He wanted to be a reality in them. The same is very true for us today. Take, for example, that portion in Scripture that you hear at weddings. And I've read this, I don't know how many times at weddings. Too numerous to even mention. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, some of the things that's listed there, it seems impossible for us to attain. But I can tell you that love is still patient and still kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice. It rejoices whenever the truth wins. Love never gives up, never loses faith, and is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 7. You see, these are the manifestations of love. Have they become a reality in our lives? Well, we could say not quite fully. Some of us experienced a little of that, but they sometimes not quite worked ourselves through fully. But we know that through God's grace, we certainly can help to manifest some of those expressions that I just read about. So our cry to the Lord should be, Lord, make this a reality in my life. This is your promise to me. And when you pray, remind the Lord that this is your promise to me. It should be the cry of every one of us whenever we get into these situations of despair. Lord, this is your promise to me. Think about some of the promises that Jesus gave. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he promised to us an abundant life. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. What does that mean? It means a life that's overflowing with streams of living water, spilling over the banks of our soul. This is the kind of life. Is it a reality in you? If it's not, you should be saying, Lord, hear my soul's cry. You have promised me this. And Lord, unstop whatever might be blocking up this flow of abundant life that you have promised me. Uncork it and let it loose in my life. Because at this point, I'm not experiencing that. But you've promised it, but I've not experienced it. Where is it? Have you asked the Lord to get rid of anything that's causing this to stop flowing in your life? Have you been living a life that you need to ask God to forgive you? Is there things in your life that you need to be sanctified of? Has this been blocked up? Is this the reason why you're not experiencing abundant life? These are questions you should ask yourself. Lord, forgive me. I want this abundant life. I want this promise. I want this promise of abundant life. I need to have it in my life. My life seems to be stagnant at this time, and I need this abundant life right now in my life. His promise was that we would have dominion over sin and over Satan, that they no longer would reign over us. Jesus now reigns over us, and sin no longer is your master. For you are no longer under the requirements of the law, but you are under the freedom of God's grace. Romans 6:14. He has put the very power of his Spirit within our hearts to give us victory over sin and to fill us with his joyful strength. The joy of the Lord is my what? My strength. Are you lacking the joy of the Lord today? Oh, Lord, restore my joy. How happy do you remember the day when Jesus saved you? Do you remember that day, how happy you were? Where did your happiness go? Do you need the Lord to restore that joy in your life, that happiness that you had when you first got saved? You were so happy. You wanted to tell everybody what happened. Have you lost the joy of your salvation? Lord, restore the joy of my salvation. Make me as happy to share it with people as I was when I received forgiveness of my sins. And I wanted to share with everybody. Restore, Lord, the joy of my salvation. Because there's so many more people that need to hear. In Ephesians 6:13, it says, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the times of evil. And after the battle, you'll be able to still stand firm. God equips us, and we can quench every fiery dart that the enemy fires. But we need to trust the Lord. Our faith doesn't diminish whenever Satan tells us, you don't walk in true love. Don't you believe the devil's lies. Devil might tell you, you don't experience victory over sin, that you don't overflow those rivers of living water anymore in your life. But I can tell you that the work of the Holy Spirit will enable us. He has made me holy. He has made me blameless. He has made me faultless. He has made me glad. Isn't that what the song said? He has made me glad. I am inseparable from his love. And I am more than a conqueror against any weapons that Satan had tried to put against me. What God did to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, he wants to do with every generation. When Israel was in slavery, the Abrahamic covenant was in place for them. As it is today, no matter what kind of bondage you might be finding yourself in, no matter what kind of bondage that you're struggling with, the new covenant is in place for you as the Abrahamic covenant was in place for the children of Israel. God's flow of blessings is to you. It's to be abundant. And Paul says, the Lord is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or even think. Ephesians 3:20. We need to consider all of God's covenant promises. So the question I'm closing with this isn't, why isn't the abundant life a reality for many Christians today? It certainly is not because God withholds blessings from us. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 7:9-11. He made it very clear in one of the sermons on the Mount. You parents, he said, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they would ask for a piece of fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So he said, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? You see, the problem is that most of us don't believe the abundant life is for me. We look at these promises and say, well, would God actually promise those things to me? Huh? Come on, really? Yes, really. Those promises are for you. But when we do this, we put ourselves into bondage. What kind of bondage, Pastor, are you talking about? I'm talking about the bondage of mental slavery. Many of us are affected by mental slavery. You know what that means? We don't believe that these promises are for me. Are you under mental slavery today? Every one of these promises are for you. Every one of them are for you. They're for you today. Devil would try to let you think they're not. He'll tell you you can't attain to that. God didn't mean it for you. He didn't mean it literally. You actually think you can have that? Well, you just tell the devil he's a liar. But you know what? What's tragic is a lot of Christians have become convinced of that I don't deserve to have anything God promises. Many think it's too good to be true for somebody like me. I'm just glad to be saved and free from sin. Have a little joy once in a while in my life. I really don't have a desire to be some super blessed Christian. Maybe is that why you're in the state you're in? It falls very short of what God says he wants for us. The promises of God aren't just some high aspirations. They are bedrock realities for every single believer today. They are yours. Every promise in the book is what? Mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Boy, that's a good song. Are you under mental bondage? Have you stopped believing the promises of God? Don't let the enemy rob you. Expect good things from God because he's your heavenly Father and he wants to give you these good things. The Lord's promises isn't a question mark. They are an exclamation point. Amen? Amen. Did he really say you could be free? That abundant life is a reality? You are a conqueror in Christ? Yes, he did. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, thank you for another opportunity to share your word today. If this message was for you, and I'm not looking, you slip your hand up. I'm going to just tell you, I put my hand up because I need it. I need any of this that I can get. My hand's up. Father in heaven, I pray for every hand that's raised. Lord, I pray, Lord, that these promises, these blessings that you said to the children of Israel, that they can be ours as well. They are ours as well. We can claim these promises as well. Then, Lord, I'm going to claim my promise today. I want to claim my promise of abundant life. I want to receive your blessings in my life. I want to be happy. I want to be able to know, Lord, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that sudden death for me could be sudden glory. Father, I pray if there's any here today that have any time that they think that they're not ready to meet Jesus, I pray right now for them. Lord, that you would forgive them of anything in their life. Forgive them of any sin or shortcoming in their life right now. Father, and I pray your Holy Spirit will come in and just flush all that stuff out. Flush it all out. Let the Holy Spirit come in their life now and fill me fresh and anew. I want to live for you from this day forward. And I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt and have the assurance that I know when I draw my last breath, I will see you in heaven. Father, I pray that everyone here can do that, can say that, can have that assurance that no one here has to live anymore with that hanging over your head. I don't know if I go to heaven, if I die. Lord, right now, let this be settled. Let this be settled right now. In Jesus' name, let it be settled. Forgive each and every one here right now, where they have sinned and come short of your glory. Forgive them. Lord, may they say that with their own lips. Lord, forgive me. And I invite you to come and live in my heart. I want to live for you. I want to live for you from this day forward. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your forgiveness. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.